It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Yesterday was kind of a rough day in our company.
Yeah. We had a lot of cuts happen yesterday. A lot of people were laid off. And it's funny because we work in a fairly small company. So even people in different markets and people in upper management and other markets and stuff, like, we all know each other pretty well. So it was a pretty crappy day, not to mention that one of our own ex-family was let go yesterday as well.
Yeah, our evening guy, Graham.
Yeah.
They're calling them the COVID cutbacks, I guess. So that's what Graham referred to it as.
Yeah.
I messaged him last night. He seems to be handling it quite well.
Yeah.
He's kind of looking forward to whatever opportunity comes next to him. But man, it sucks to see good people get laid off, especially because like the people that were laid off this week, the people that we know, didn't do anything to like, they were hardworking and passionate and talented, and it's just the nature of this business sometimes, and COVID has been hard on everybody, us included. So
I know I was chatting with Graham last night as well, and it's funny, he seems, again, you don't know, but he seems to be, you know, even the note he wrote at the end of the day was pretty nice. And when I was chatting with him, I was like, let's go for a coffee, we'll hang out soon, obviously. And yeah, he was just like, I think he already has some things on the horizon that he might do next, which is great. So I mean, I guess that's all you can hope for, right? We'll be in his corner, of course. Like, that's the thing about radio too, is even though he's not working with us anymore, it doesn't mean that we're not friends, you know?
Right.
So we'll keep in touch and see what he gets up to next for sure.
And this company too. I don't think this can be said about every company, but I think our company legitimately does care about the employees who work for them, and I'm sure it killed them to have to lay people off yesterday. So
yeah, well, I got laid off from a job in this company at the start of my radio career.
Right, they flipped a station, right?
They flipped a station, so it was just a purely business decision. And when they did that, you know, the on-air staff traditionally does get let go because it'll turn to a different format and you're kind of specialized in one long... Anyway, when they did it, they had an offer on the table for me. So they, even though they laid me off, scrambled to find me another gig so that I'd at least have some option, which... they've done with other people I've heard in the company over the last couple of days as well. And that does not happen in other companies. I've never heard of that before.
No, you're usually just handed your envelope. Thank you for your service. And away you go. Good luck.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that shows that the company definitely cares.
For sure.
Yeah. It's always rough to lose good people.
It's awful.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was visiting my parents in Saskatoon last weekend, and something strange happens at their house. Their house has a lot of curb appeal.
Like, oh, nice.
It's not a big house. It's just a nice bungalow in a middle-class neighborhood, but they've really kept it up to date over the years, and like, it's probably one of the nicer-looking houses on the street from the curb. And we were sitting in the living room, and they got this big window that faces out onto the street, and you wouldn't believe the number of people walking by who just stop and stare at the house, who just, like, stand on the sidewalk and stare at the house.
That's amazing.
And then, like, point things out to whoever they're walking with, and... I mean, it's kind of, I guess, flattering for them.
Very
because
flattering.
They've done a nice... My dad's yard is immaculate, and you know, the house looks very nice from the outside. But I also, a little strange to just stand at the foot of someone's house and like, ooh, look at this. Like,
my.
You know, I love looking at nice houses too, but I would never just stop and stand there and stare at it.
I mean, I guess that's why you have curb appeal for the house. You put some love and tenderness into it because you want people to admire it and people to enjoy it just as much as you do, perhaps.
Yep.
Also, if you're bored, you could just moon everyone, you know, who's still...
Blown opportunity.
Like, if I had noticed that, I'd be like, Dad and Mommy need to go away for for a minute here. I'm just gonna drop the pants. And...
Did they do something to the windows there? Oh, that's a man's ass. That is a white ass.
How fun would that be?
just kind of like off in the corner of one of the windows.
Oh, yeah.
See if anyone catches you.
Some people see it, some people don't. Doesn't matter.
Just see it. Oh, whoa. Quickly get back to their walk.
Oh, my. Dearie.
That's an ass. That's hilarious. Man, I really blew that opportunity.
Next time.
It's like, if they change anything on the house, people notice. People notice right away. They could change like the color of the eavesdrop.
Okay, so people would definitely notice the man's ass.
They'd notice the ass for sure. Is that a man's ass?
That wasn't there last time.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Beckler, you were asking yesterday why alternative music has the megaphone as a symbol for it in Apple Music.
It's weird. Yeah, all the other genres, their symbols make sense. Like I said, for country, it's a bolo tie. For R&B, it's a flower.
Yeah. And we got a bunch of friends from the show after you asked that, because you posted it on social media as well, and they were talking about different alt bands who have used the megaphone in the past. And I'd never really thought about that before, but you and I talk about less common instruments used in rock and roll, and we have yet to talk about the rock and roll megaphone.
The rock and roll megaphone.
But it's a thing, and you can hear it in a variety of different, like this one is maybe one of the most obvious. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And Green Day's Holiday has it, of course. I was trying to think of other music that did use the megaphone. Tool uses it.
I was going to say Maynard.
Quite a bit.
I've seen Maynard use it on stage.
Yes, and you can hear it. So he uses it all throughout No Quarter. I know.
I find that it's often difficult to tell if it's just a vocal effect on the microphone or if it is a physical megaphone until you see the band live.
It's true.
And then, he's pulling out the megaphone. I guess that's how they do that.
And sometimes I think they actually use an effect for the album because it sounds cleaner. Sometimes on stage they'll use a real megaphone.
To recreate it, hey?
Yeah, so I'm kind of interchanging those two because, yeah, it could be either or, really.
I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but I know I've seen Max from the Arkells pull out the old megaphone before. And it kind of fits with the whole rally cry theme and everything.
Exactly.
Here's a famous example of it if you're a Pink Floyd fan.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of fits with the whole story of the concept of that album.
Absolutely. This one's kind of a stretch because it's not really a megaphone, but it has that same effect.
Yeah, we got free tickets to the Brand Van concert. I think it's Monday night, Pacific Palisades. But you can all in if you want to answer.
So that one is supposed to be the radio sound effect, but it's kind of still a megaphone sound effect, you know?
I never really put that together. That guy's supposed to be on the radio.
Supposed to be on the radio.
It sounds like a phone call to me.
Yeah, and that's they tried their best. Okay. They don't know.
Play it again if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got free tickets to the Brand Van concert.
He's also right up on that mic with his lips, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got two tickets to the Brand Van concert.
They can haul all in and tell us what's his favorite flavor of cheese.
Yeah, breaker. This is Foxy Lady.
Also.
Heading west on I-69.
Do you realize that was a bad radio topic at the beginning there, too? What's his favorite flavor of cheese?
I didn't even notice that. Did he was doing the old radio epidemic there.
Yeah,
hey.
Oh, man.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was like, as we've gotten older, it seems that all of his friends now have some sort of food intolerance.
Yeah, for sure.
Like gluten, fructose, lactose, all of which developed later in life, too. It's like you get in your 30s and your body's like, nope, don't like that anymore.
Yeah.
Your rig's had enough of that.
Yeah.
I know you have some mild lactose intolerance.
Slight lactose intolerance. I can still, I have milk in my coffee and I drink milk, but things that are really heavy cream, I don't like as much. They don't do well with my bum.
You get sick bum, don't you?
The bum just doesn't like it, okay?
Shauna has to go home. She has...
sick bum.
A very sick bum.
She has sick bum. But I think my mom actually said this over the weekend. She says she thinks it's because I stopped drinking milk for a while, which is true. Because when I was a kid, I drank a ton of milk. And then when I went to university, I didn't drink milk because I didn't buy it, right? I just didn't really think to drink milk. It was beer and coffee mostly. And then when I, went back to drinking milk, my body had then kind of developed an intolerance to it because it wasn't used to it anymore.
Can that happen?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've heard that. Your body stops adapting to it, if it stops learning how to kind of deal with it, then it's tough to get back on that train. But I don't know if that's accurate for most of these allergies or...
What you're telling me, what I'm hearing from you, is that you have to floor it on the dairy products, just like...
Not floor it. That's probably also going to be a problem. Like, too much of it, also not a good thing. Just in moderation. Keep it all up in moderation, you might be good.
I have a slight vegetable intolerance. I think it's mostly in my head, but my friend was saying that his friends will put back a bunch of pizza after a night of drinking, and then they'll wake up the next morning and be like, oh, that pizza is not sitting well with me. And it's like, is it the pizza or is it the 15 beer you drank last night?
Yeah.
Which is it that isn't sitting well with you?
My boyfriend likes to blame things on whatever he feels is convenient to blame it on. Oh, that was the
the vegetables I ate last night. Yeah. You're like, no, it's not.
My parents do that too. Like, yeah. If you have any issue at all, it's whatever they think is the problem with you. Oh, it's the pre-workout you're taking. It's got to be the pre-workout. And it's like, you don't have any evidence to back that up.
It's the beer. The beer makes me feel like this. It's like, no, you're just gassy. It doesn't have to do with that.
I feel for you and your lactose intolerance and your sick bum, Shauna, because, like, cheese is probably my favorite food in the whole world. Mm.
It's a tough thing.
I'd rather die before I gave up cheese, Shauna.
Yeah, and have sick bum.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm the Charlton Heston of cheese. Just think of me like that.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was using the washroom yesterday when a beetle crawled out of the floor.
At your house?
Yeah, freaked me right out. But I couldn't find the will to kill it. Instead, I tried to trap it. It got away. Now I don't know where it went. It went back into the floor or something, and now I have a beetle bro. So it's part of my family now, I guess.
Okay. What kind of beetle?
Well, this is what I tried to figure out. I was trying to look it up, and I'm sorry I did, because the ones that I found, it's either a carpet beetle or a furniture beetle, both of, I guess, which lay thousands or hundreds of eggs around your house and are fairly invasive.
Whoa.
So I'm really hoping it's not one of the... It could also be a rhinoceros beetle, which is kind of cool because it looks like a rhinoceros. I didn't get a good enough look, but those ones have like the actual rhino nose.
Don't they have like antlers almost?
Yeah, like little antlers. And then the right... Look at them. They look like a rhinoceros, but in beetle form, which, I mean, at least then it would be something to look at.
You would know if it was a rhinoceros beetle, wouldn't you?
I think so. I didn't get that close to it. It was kind of off. You know, I saw it on the wall, and I was trying to figure out what it was, and I should have taken a photo or something, but
It looks like a triceratops.
Yeah.
The rhinoceros beetle.
How cool is that? I wish
Very
it was
cool.
that.
I just wouldn't
sure
really want it in my house.
Well, I know. I don't know where it went, so it's there now.
The only insects that get to live in the house at our place are spiders. I let spiders live.
Do you?
Unless they're huge. But just like small spiders, if I see one on the roof, I'll let them go.
I do that, but I can't bring myself to smush anything. Like, thinking about the, you know, just smushing that beetle in the initial, like, no. You know what I mean? Like, I looked at it, I'm like, I can't kill you. I was trying to, like, just chase it away. That didn't work either. I should have killed it is what I should have done.
Sometimes when it rains, we have those, I forget what they're called, but they're not even an insect. They're a crustacean. They're these tiny little beetles. They're gross looking. And they have, like, a shell. And
this one had that. I wonder if that's what this was.
I posted a photo of it on our Facebook page a while ago, and a bunch of people identified it. And I forget what species it is, but it's actually a crustacean.
That's weird.
Yeah. I saw one of those yesterday, and I stomped on that.
My parents used to have centipedes and potato bugs in the basement. Those are both disgusting.
The centipedes are really gross.
Yeah. You'd be laying, you know, we'd have sleepovers down there, and you look over, and there's just a centipede crawling across the floor.
My parents have crickets, camel crickets.
What's a camel cricket?
Google it. They're disgusting. Ew. They come up through the drain. And those ones I really hate because they're so fast. Like, you throw the lights on, and they're just like, and they're gone. So gross.
I just picture them like waking up and like tickling your ear. So
I had one on my face one time. When I lived in my parents' house, I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt a tickle. I just like wiped my face and there was a big dead cricket in my hand. So gross. So gross.
Well, it's going to happen with this beetle now, who I've named Nelly Flortado, by the way, because I found him on the floor. That's what he's going with. But he's part of my family now. He might wind up on my face, and I might squish him. This is all going to be awful.
Nelly Flortado.
You got to come up with a name.
I like that one.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was thinking, if you were a bug, and
I
don't think bugs have thoughts like this, but...
No.
Getting stepped on would be a pretty good way to go, wouldn't it? We've talked about how most deaths in nature are horrible. Just horrible. You starve or you get eaten alive by another predator or... I mean, imagine if you're just walking along doing your bug things and you get stepped on. Like, everything's just black. That's the end. You don't even know.
It's true. It's true.
That's how I'd like to go.
Getting
stepped on by something that weighs 100,000 times more than me. Just...
Yeah.
You just drop a mountain on me.
Just instant. Instant would be great. In any way, instant's awesome. Yeah.
I wonder if you do feel anything, or if it's just like...
Just...
If there's any like... Just like a second of lingering consciousness, or if it's just one moment you're there, and then it's just black.
I hope it's just black.
I hope so, too. That seems pretty convenient.
I just can't bring myself to squish on that beetle, you know? Like, it's just... hearing the squish, you know, I don't want that.
The crunch
can't.
And the squish?
Nope. I can't bring myself to it yet. But again, now he's my Beatle bro, so I don't have to. I'll just say, like, hey, nice to see you again. As long as you don't multiply, we're good.
Nelly Furtado.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
As we've done in the past, whenever my five-year-old son, Bo, asks me a very tough question,
yep,
and he asks a lot of them, mm-hmm, he's razor sharp for 5 years old, I bring the question to you to see how you would have answered it were it your kid asking you that.
Yeah.
And I think he might have asked his toughest one yet yesterday.
Oh, God.
He said, who's Jesus? And I was like, whoa. Where do we start here? I'll give you some base information to work off of here. Okay. Bo knows a bit about the concept of a God.
Okay.
So you're not starting completely from scratch there, but like, how would you explain to a five-year-old who Jesus is and, you know, the place that he holds for many people?
I gave this a bit of thought, and I thought about the way that I may explain it, and I would just say I think Jesus is a superhero that not everybody believes is real, but he can walk on water. He turns water into wine. He can heal people, so people believe he does, but not everybody does believe that he's real.
That's not a bad approach.
It's like, that would be a way of maybe simplifying it in a way that he could grasp.
A superhero.
Without diving deep into religion and what that means and all that.
Wow. I went a different direction.
Okay.
I was just like, I said, there are many people who believe that he's the son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what do you think? And I was like, huh.
Well, I don't believe that.
I said, I think he taught a lot of very good lessons. And, you know, he may or may not have lived 2,000 years ago, but much of what what is attributed to him, mm-hmm, is having said, what he preaches is a good word. He doesn't know what a tribute means. Mm. Is that many of the things that people think he said are still pertinent today?
That's a great way of saying
it. McKenna was mad at me though.
Oh,
she was like, we need to have this discussion before you answer. And I was like, well, I'm not going to, cause Bo's going to a Catholic school in the fall and he's going to be likely taught that version of Jesus. And I think she didn't want me confusing him or because, our families are Catholic. And and I said, well, I'm never going to lie to him. And if he asks me what I think, I'm going to tell him the honest truth.
Which is good.
So that's the approach I took. McKenna wasn't happy, though. I was like, what else do you want me to do?
You have to be honest for sure.
Yeah. A superhero.
Or just tell him that it's a superhero. I mean, if he goes to Catholic school, I'm like, Jesus, the superhero.
They'd probably love that.
Oh, maybe.
They'd probably love that at Catholic school.
I guess maybe they would. Yeah. Until he was like, not everybody believes he's real, though. Then maybe not.
I think that's quite insightful for a five-year-old to have. I want him to have an understanding of many different beliefs. And that's my intent, never to push my own on him.
That's good.
But to
him out.
Kind of explain to him what people around the world think about these things.
Give him some options.
I'm picturing Jesus' superhero costume now.
Yeah.
He's got a cape and a little mask,
mm-hmm,
underwear on the outside.
Yep.
It's a good look.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
My laptop alerted me that today is St. John Baptiste Day, Beckler. Did you know that?
I got that notification too.
Do you know what that means?
Well, I know who John the Baptist is, but I don't know.
Right. I didn't know anything about it really. And I guess it's just an extension of the celebration of the summer solstice. But in France, the Roman Catholic Church decided to associate it with Jesus's cousin.
Oh, yeah, they were cousins, weren't they?
It's a religious cousin holiday, Beckler. Do your Saskatchewan brethren celebrate, or? We know you appreciate the odd cousin love, and so this holiday seems very fitting for you.
I don't know if the people of Saskatchewan know.
Well,
they should celebrate this.
We should.
That's a big day.
I was actually curious if there was any other sort of cousin celebration, and there actually is. July 24th is known as Cousins Day.
That's coming up.
It's coming
up. That's a month from today.
It is. And in reading about it, it says, cousins are fun to be with. They're almost like your siblings, but you don't have to share all your prized possessions with them. Just your private parts sometimes. So celebrate them on Cousins Day. I added a little extra line in there.
I thought you did, yeah.
The rest of it's there. Then it says, an annual celebration of the special bond you share with your cousins. And beds you share with them occasionally as well, obviously.
It's not illegal, as we found out, right?
Oh, my.
my God, I forgot about that. Saskatchewan should get that day off. Like, that's a big day for them.
We could probably do away with one of the other holidays.
Labor Day. I'm seriously marking this down on the calendar. Like, I'm going to get you a giant cake. We're celebrating Cousin's
Day. I hope you're not speaking ill of Cousin Lovin'.
I'm not.
It's a proud Saskatchewan tradition.
Oh, my God.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I tweeted the other day that I think anybody who grew up in a religious family has an almost fainting in church story.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever almost hit the deck in church, Shauna?
It doesn't even have to be people who are religious. It could just be going to weddings and that type of thing as well.
Yeah, exactly. Graduations.
Yeah. I remember I was at a wedding just recently, and the church was so damn hot that I started was a little bit hungover, which doesn't help. And then I was sitting there, and I was like, I've got to walk. I need to get some fresh air. I'm going to faint.
That's just the spirit getting you, I think.
Oh, it is definitely. Yeah.
I remember one time my class in school, because I went to a Catholic school, my class was providing the music. We were the choir. And just under the lights, it was so hot, and you're standing for most of it. Probably hadn't eaten well that day, and the lights are on you. It's hot. And I almost went down. I got super lightheaded. I got some really funny responses to this, though, when I tweeted it out, though. Cheryl said that she learned early how to fake that she was almost passing out so she could go to the church basement and have juice and donuts Smart. While everyone else was still up there.
Innovation. That's genius.
Praising.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
I thought that was good. And then other stories, too. Like, a friend of mine said that he got the giggles so bad in church one time that his mom had to take him out into the women's washroom to spank him.
I've
had crazy laugh attacks in church, too, where you're not supposed to be laughing.
Yeah.
You just can't control it. You can't.
Yeah.
One's good, too. I nearly passed out and had to leave mid-first communion to go puke in the washroom. In that moment, I knew I wasn't about that life.
You know, what's most impressive is when people fall asleep.
Like, oh, yeah.
During church, in those pews, those are the most uncomfortable things to sit on. Like, your ass goes numb immediately. The fact that some people can fall asleep, especially older people, you know, you take a quick nap while you're in church. That's amazing to me. Like, I look at that, I'm like, that's a gift right there.
I looked over. I remember my mom used to nod off here and there and look over and her eyes would be closed. And I'd be like, why do we even have to come? You're asleep. And she was like, I'm just deep in prayer. She's very pious. That's very, very pious.
I'm sure you were, mom. You should have been like, repeat what the
preacher just said. Yeah, what was the sermon about, hey?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Have you seen the recent surge in fireworks in the U.S.?
No. But okay. I have seen, like, posts about fireworks and stuff. So is this all tied together?
It's all tied together. Okay. So I guess people are setting off fireworks all over the place, even though they're illegal in different neighborhoods in the States. And they're shooting them off at all hours of the night, and people are getting really frustrated about it. And it's prompted all kinds of conspiracy theories about these fireworks.
Oh.
Some people are saying it's to desensitize people to the sounds so that the government can then use other explosives and guns, and you're kind of all going to be blurred together with them.
Wow. That is spicy.
I read that and I was just like, oh my God.
Taste that conspiracy on your tongue.
You
right
sure
there.
Can.
That kind of ties into what I was saying about predictions of a second American Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying it's a big distraction. It's being used for these. Anyway, it's
I don't know if I necessarily believe it.
I don't
but
think
I, like
I do either.
Tossing it around in the old noggin, that's
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. My tongue is numb from it.
Ooh, spice.
You know, it could be that. Or maybe it's because everybody's just selling off their fireworks right now, knowing that July 4th celebrations aren't going to happen.
It could be that, too. Definitely. Didn't you say you found Canada Day decorations, like, dirt cheap at a store?
50% off. Yeah. So at the craft store.
It could be related to that.
And that's what... In fact, I had got a Groupon yesterday, and it was 50% off fireworks packages because they knew that we're not going to be using as many for July 1st either.
Not to mention everyone's just super bored and maybe watching something explode is kind of fun.
That's
I was thinking about even the Stampede fireworks. It's a family tradition of ours to get ice cream, go park on a hill, and watch the Stampede fireworks one night. So I wish they would still do the fireworks, even if Stampede isn't going to happen.
That they should.
Yeah.
They honestly should, because it's something that everybody can still enjoy from a distance.
Mm-hmm. It'd be very unifying, I think.
It'd be great. I was thinking I was going to buy up a bunch of those 50% off fireworks.
Fireworks do it off your balcony?
Well, yeah. I mean, as a kid, I remember we used to go on a floating dock and then set them off on the dock out in the middle of the lake so that everybody could enjoy. I was like, I could do that here. Find some bodies of water, send them off, probably illegal, but I mean, I'd find somewhere maybe it wasn't.
Or just in the forest of high-rise buildings you live in.
Yeah,
some of those would be going off right outside people's windows.
Yeah, that would be a real echo chamber. It would, I'm sure, make my neighbors really happy.
It'd be fun, though.
It would be. This is what I'm saying. Like, fireworks are expensive. You can get them 50% off right now. Maybe I could just take them and hoard them. Also, I think dangerous.
I'm down to have a redneck good time.
How
if you get a bunch of fireworks
be?
On your... Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Okay, I think it's going to happen.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A Calgary Heritage Moment.
You've most certainly been over the Calf Rope Bridge. Perhaps you've even heard of the Calf Rope Society or the Calf Rope School in Edmonton. Although the name is something we come across quite often, especially as a curse word while commuting on Deerfoot, you may not know what it means exactly or where it originated.
Well, Ben Calf Rope was born in 1890. He was a member of the Siksika Nation, and although his namesake, the Calf Rope Bridge, may not always be fondly referenced, a bridge is a fitting tribute, as Calf Rope spent a lot of his life serving as a bridge between the native and non-native world.
One of his first jobs, in fact, was working as an interpreter with the Royal Northwest Mounted Police. He called himself a cowboy policeman, working also as a scout and as a communications aide.
Calf Rope was only 22 years old when members of the Blackfoot tribe, just outside of Calgary, were invited to take part in the original 1912 stampede. The tribe's agent allowed them to participate, but only if Ben Calf Rope accompanied them as an interpreter and to assist in keeping them out of trouble.
Calf Rope had learned English during his time in a Blackfoot residential school. His fluency in both languages and experience as a police scout made him the perfect man to send along.
From there, Calf Rope continued his stampede participation, and when the event became an annual one in 1923, he returned once again. He would spend the next 17 years working as an interpreter with Stampede before giving up his role to occupy what was then known as Stampede's Indian Village.
His teepee became a popular tourist attraction where it could be found for many years to come. The Calf Rope teepee was then passed down to his son, who erected it at Stampede in his honor, who in turn passed it down one more generation to Norrin Calf Rope. The Calf Rope teepee can be seen at Stampede grounds to this day.
Ben Calf Rope died in 1979 at the age of 89. 2 years later, Mayor Ralph Klein dedicated a bridge in Calf Rope's honor. This bridge channels 6 lanes of Deerfoot Trail traffic across the Bow River and is subject to icing.
This has been a Calgary Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.